Welcome, friends. It's time to get your cacao ready and settle in as we join for another episode of Megan Hopper Presents The Cacao Crowd, where we'll connect to heal, empower, and learn to love ourselves a little more each day. Hey, guys. Welcome back. Another Thursday. So glad you could join. Thank you for continuously coming back, continuously joining, continuously checking this out, and more importantly, continuously showing up for yourself. So has anyone ever yelled at you for getting distracted or procrastinating? I used to get yelled at all the time for procrastinating. My main jam. I still do it all the time, but now I have a great excuse. So today, I'm going to dig into why procrastinating and distractions can actually be amazingly beneficial to your life. So you'll definitely want to stay tuned for those rebuttals to give to your boss or your parents or your teachers or, you know, whoever's getting on your case. I did say last week that we will not be doing cacao every week, but this week we are going to have cacao as our kind of mindful moment. I actually have an event coming up this weekend to help deepen your understanding of and relationship with cacao. So if that is something that you want to do, it's a virtual offering as well as in person. So if you want to learn more about the plant, build your unique relationship with her, really dig into all of the fun details of cacao and working with cacao, definitely check that out on my link tree. And I have a super cute little cup that is in, and you guys can see it. This is from one of my friends. She brought it back for me. It is a hyper pure ceramic. It's this like crazy, super thin. It looks like metal, but it's not. I'm really excited about it. So anytime that you can bring something more exciting to your cacao, definitely do that. Anytime there's more love involved, more joy, it's just going to make the experience even more robust. And then inside, we've got Keith's cacao, filtered water, and just a little bit of sea salt. So I'm really letting the magic and the lessons of the cacao come through and just using that little bit of sea salt to help deepen the taste. I've went over the benefits of salt in previous episodes. It does have its own balancing properties and can help your body really maintain that hydration. But for today, it's really more flavor focused. So I have a top on mine because I tend to spill things. So I'm going to grab that off. And then if you guys want to join me, eyes open, closed, however you prefer. Holding your heart medicine in front of your heart and taking that inhale through your nose. Allowing the scent of the cacao to fill you, filling your diaphragm, and really feeling that breath in your belly. Calling in that gratitude, that thanks to all of our guides and guardians, all the plant, animal, and nature spirits, Mama Cacao herself, our ancestors and relatives, and our friends and family, seen and unseen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm taking a sip. Feeling it passing over the back of your tongue, down your throat, to your heart, lighting up your solar plexus, which is that point right at the base of where your ribs meet each other. Going down to your sacral, just right near your belly button, a little bit lower. And going down to your root, where you meet the earth or your seat. Connecting you to everything below, to Mother Earth, to nature, to that abundant, ever-present nourishment. And taking another sip. And this time, feeling it going over the back of your tongue and up, lighting up your third eye or brow center right between your eyebrows and out the top of your head or crown and connecting you to everything above. What we know is limitless. Imagination, freedom, space, and space in so many ways. And taking a deep breath. On the exhale, letting go of anything that no longer serves you. Maybe bringing some movement into yourself. Letting that energy that you just brought in with cacao to really fill you and brighten you and your day. And I will continue to sip here. And you can continue to sip with me or chug it down, whatever floats your boat. Shout out to Allie. Thank you for the cup. It is awesome. So our fun fact for today, because why would I give you a not fun fact? So there were four people that lived in a home for 6 months with over 2,000 venomous spiders inside. It was an old limestone in Kansas City. A family moved into it. They saw a few spiders here and there, and then they found a brown recluse, which is supposed to have caused about tens of thousands of bites every single year, this one specific type of spider. So this family started staying up later to catch all of them, and over the course of 6 months caught 2,055 spiders. Why they stayed in that home to catch 2,055 spiders, I don't know. But one night they totaled 37, so cool. I definitely wouldn't have still been there, but you know, good for them. Family bonding. I'm not sure if the count ended at 2,055 because they moved or they got them all or they called someone in to finish the job, but I'm guessing that story made some of you uncomfortable because it's spiders and venomous spiders. And then you think about things that are crawling and creepy and could be on top of you and could touch you and could be in your walls. And oh my God. So think of how you feel right now in this moment. Maybe you got a little tense. Maybe your breathing pattern started to change from that relaxed, easy pattern that we were at after the cacao to a more chest, shoulder level. You really love tightness here. And as I'm talking about it and you're thinking about it more, are you getting more tense? What if I said spider again? So now think, what's your favorite food? How does your favorite food smell? How does your favorite food taste? What's the texture of that food? How does it feel in your mouth going down your throat? Why do you love it? Is there some kind of familial tie to it, or is it just really good? Now, after I distracted you, do you feel better? So this is a classic example of momentum. Think about a giant freight train. A freight train that's going 55 miles an hour can take up to a mile to come to a complete stop after the emergency brake is engaged. And no, I'm not starting a math problem. Don't worry. You don't have to freak out and get your pen and pencil and go back to like fourth grade word problems. Just using this as an example that 1 mile is not a small thing. So that freight train, once it has momentum, is just flying. And it's going to take that full mile to get it to stop. We like to use the phrase going a mile a minute. Again, it's a huge distance to travel in a minute. A mile? I can't run a 1 minute mile. I don't think I know anyone that can. I don't know if that's even humanly possible. Maybe a cheetah can do it. I might have to look that up. So that's a huge amount of momentum. And I'll give you guys one more kind of just visual example. I'll use the Abraham Hicks analogy of a car rolling downhill. So picture yourself standing in front of a car. Don't actually do it because that's dangerous. I don't want to be the reason that someone gets hit by a car. Please don't go actually stand in front of a car. Just picture this. If the car is at the top of a hill, still on the flat part of the road, there's really no risk. With standing in front of it. I still don't want you to go do it, but there's really no risk. But now the car starts going down the hill. So 5 feet down, it's not really gone very much. You'll get tapped, not a really big deal. 10 feet down is probably going to hurt. It might push you, but it's not the end of the world. Once it gets to the bottom of the hill, well, everyone else will see what happened, but you probably won't see much of anything after that. So for everybody that's saying, you know, well, it depends on the hill, because I would be one of those people saying that. It's one of the really steep hills in San Francisco that would be considered a mountain if there weren't houses built on it. So just go with me. But you get the point. So all of the momentum that's gained by staying with the same activity, the same thought, everything just makes this giant snowball. And that's why we call it a snowball, because the point is that it's a tiny little thing and it rolls down the hill and it gains and gains and gains and becomes this monstrosity. So I do want to stress, because I am saying like, oh, just distract yourself from problems. That's not entirely it. If you have the capacity to sit and feel through something, please do. Not doing so gets you into adrenal fatigue, which we just did an episode on a couple of weeks ago, I think like 3 weeks ago. So check that out if you don't understand the term adrenal fatigue yet. It will enlighten lots of things. But there are some things that are just overwhelming and that can cause different problems. So if you can't find your breath or realize you're in a safe space and work your way through something, then you want to distract yourself to get out of that crumbling scenario instead of letting it get worse. If it's something that is happening that you're like, okay, this sucks, but I can breathe, I can use the techniques, I can get through this, then please feel through your feelings, feel through your experiences. Allow, what was it? Normalize expressing. That's what it was. Hashtag normalize expressing. So if you can, definitely do that. But once you get to that point where you're just panicked and you're in that, oh no, oh no, oh no, and your breathing becomes really tight and you start to almost panic attack and your palms are sweaty and you're just, no, this is not good, and you start to have these dire visions, then it's the time where distraction is going to be so much more beneficial. So what are easy, mindful ways to distract yourself that will help? The first one that I like to use, I call the color method. I don't know if it's actually a thing, but I made it a thing. So I founded the color method. So if you're someone who has this continuous dialogue in your head of doom and gloom, and you're just starting to get into mindfulness, then this is the best one for you. When you wake up in the morning, pick a color, preferably something that's not all over the place. So for me, I definitely couldn't do black because I'm pretty much always wearing black. So pick a color that you're going to see. Don't pick something like ochre, which nobody even knows what that is except for like the people that are in design, maybe an interior designer, maybe a painter, but something that you're going to see just not as prevalently. So one of my friends that did this, she picked purple, and there were a few times during the day where she saw purple and it really hit home because it was only those few times. So pick your color, and then every time that you see that color during the day, stop. Just dead stop whatever you're doing, as long as it's safe to do so. If it's not safe, wait until a second when it is. It'll stay with you. But stop whatever you're doing just for a moment and just notice the color. Notice what it's on. Notice how it makes you feel, if you like it, if you don't, everything. Don't fixate on it, because then you're just creating another problem, another dialogue, replacing this like overwhelming spiel of words and stuff. But just notice it, because by noticing it, it really only takes 17 seconds to change your thought pattern. So by sitting and noticing it, you've gotten enough of a break in your snowballing catastrophe plan that it stopped the momentum, and it's now the car that's just sitting there. And you can walk in front of that car. That car is not going to hit you. So there's one beneficial. Number two, do something. If you're struggling with thoughts, if it's just this chaotic thing inside of your head, get yourself some physical activity. So for some, that's a workout. And in that case, I definitely recommend going to a group class or something in person with other people, so you don't have the option to slink back into your own world. It's kind of counterintuitive, but something that we're conditioned to is comparing ourselves to everyone. And while no, we don't want to encourage comparing ourselves to other people, inevitably, if you are in a workout class with others, you're going to notice what they're doing. You're going to notice what you're doing in comparison. You're going to be fixated on what that teacher is doing. So that's adding another level of distraction to the movement. So it's really going to amp that up. For others, if working out's just not your jam, you're like, no, you can do something else like knitting, planting a garden, coloring. I have a couple of examples. They have these fancy adult coloring books now that are all, crazy intricate patterns that you have to really concentrate on. Or pick up a fun kids one and just enjoy yourself coloring the friends that remind you of when you were little. There's some links in the show notes too for some adult coloring books, for a knitting kit, for a starting your own at-home garden kit, all of that. And the benefit too is if you can find a way that you're doing something becomes productive, then you don't have that negative self-talk of, this is just another waste of time, that can snowball you into something else. If you're planting a garden, you're saving yourself money at the grocery store, learning how to be self-sufficient, helping the environment, So think about what it is that you're doing too. Number three, the third way to kind of distract yourself, go somewhere. So for some, a change of scenery does the trick. If you're stuck sitting behind a desk all day, get up, walk away from it. Just going to the bathroom can help. Going to get a drink of water can help. Going to pet a little fluffy animal can help. If you have the means, sure, go hop on a plane. For everybody else, just that slight difference. Go outside, go to the park, go to the beach. Where I grew up, that was my backyard, so I could literally just walk outside. Now, no, I can still walk across the street. Not quite my backyard, but close. If you can't physically travel, if you can't get up and go somewhere, maybe you're injured, maybe you have to watch a kid, maybe, something else is going on, let your mind wander. And sometimes the best way to do that is to read a book. So, we had The Power of Color with Anne-Marie Dubois on earlier or in last season. If you wanted to just do some light reading, very easy, learning about your chakras, great choice. Or you can go with a fiction book like The Alchemist. Also a very esoteric, very kind of self-realizing book. But you could just read it as a totally story level and lose yourself in these kind of picturesque places that are explained in here. I mean, there's when I was reading this, I'm a very image-driven person, a very visual person. So for me, anytime that I'm reading, I'm getting those visuals and having my imagination spark. But in that book in particular, there's tons of scenes that have these great desert oasis, and you can just feel that heat and the dryness and really get transported. So that is a way to travel when literally traveling is not an option. And the fourth one's to meditate if you have a meditative practice. If you don't have a meditative practice, I wouldn't recommend using this as a distraction method, because this can also initiate a self-talk about, I don't know how to do this. I'm not doing this as well as I should. If you have a meditative practice, if you're used to sitting for a moment, whichever type of meditation it is, it could be a walking meditation. It could be a guided meditation, which would be a great one for staying focused and listening to someone else instead of the story in your head. It could be just a musical meditation, whatever it is that's your practice. That's a great place to go. And I will be doing an episode coming up on different types of meditations, because I know there's a lot of people that tell me consistently that they can't meditate. And to them, I say, that's not true, including my producer, who is pointing at himself in a very emphatic manner. That is not true. You can meditate, Brian, as can everyone. And it's just which way. So I'm going to teach you guys some ways to meditate that maybe don't seem like meditation. Because I can tell you one thing, going to a paintball range, it's meditating for some people. And then we have, as our last mindful way to really own the distraction, the procrastination, take a nap. I know it sounds like absolutely preposterous. You're not supposed to sleep in the middle of the day. Only little kids do that. And as kids grow up, when you tell them, okay, it's nap time, eventually they get to the point that they're like, no, I don't want a nap. Well, your brain has different sections in it. And if you've ever seen Inside Out, it's a Pixar movie. They have that short-term memory and long-term memory, and they're moving the marbles from one to the other. Your brain actually does work like that. So one of the sections in your brain is your short-term memory. There's another that is your long-term memory. During the day, everything, every single thing, whether you're cognizant of it or not, is going into your short-term. So it's just getting loaded. The more things you're doing, the more things you're exposed to, the more things you read, the more things you see. And everybody knows with these things now, you are seeing and hearing and exposing yourself to 20 things every 0.2 seconds instead of where we used to be at exposing yourselves to 20 things in an hour. So our brains are really working and it's just getting cramped. Now, when you sleep, your brain converts the things that you still need, that it's like, oh, this is important, into long-term memory, which frees up space in that short-term that you can fill with new things. So if you have all of these grains of sand in this one bucket, and that's your short-term, and then you tip over a third of it to what you actually need to keep in long term, get rid of the other two-thirds. Now you've got an empty bucket that you can refill. That's what happens when you're sleeping. So by taking a nap, you're pretty much just hitting reset and getting a brand new, fresh, empty bucket. Those are really the kind of most easily accessible ways to mindfully distract yourself and procrastinate. If somebody comes up to you and they're like, hey, stop getting distracted, you need to focus, just be honest with them. Tell them, no, there's this thing going on in my head and there's too much momentum to it. And trust me, it's better if I just take a minute. I'll get with you in a minute. That's all. A lot of times we forget we can communicate with each other. One of those great things that we have as humans. So now you have your excuse for your teachers, your parents, your boss, whoever it is. I have actually told my boss, no, I need a minute. And I've gone on a walk, gone outside because I was freaking out. In college, I used to get like just so focused on a project and I would see it going in a way that I didn't like. But at that point, I was so ingrained in the story of you need to sit, you need to get it done, you need to accomplish it. Distraction is bad. Procrastinating is your enemy. And now I look back at that and I'm like, oh, that was the worst ever. Like, that's why so many of these things tanked. So now I can feel, you know, if I'm writing something, if I'm working on something for my job or for my website, whatever it is, and I can just feel it's not clicking. And then I sit there and I'll take a lean back from it and go, well, this is the worst thing I've ever written. But instead of letting that become a story, I push back, I get up, I go for a walk. I come back and then it's fresh again, or I'll take a nap and then it's really fresh again. So sometimes, you know, that's part of why they say reread everything like 3 times before you send it. Because if you're going away and coming back, you're coming back with a new perspective because you're getting out of that self-talk story in your head. So that's where all of that comes from. So don't be afraid to embrace that. But yeah, that's it for today. Again, I have an event coming up this weekend to really connect with that cacao. So if that's something that sounds great to you, then feel free to check out my link tree. There's another one next weekend. It's a full cleansing rebirth ceremony. If you have any questions, you can always reach out. Thank you again for joining. If you like what we do, you're excited about all of this, you have a topic that you'd like to hear about, message me. I'm always available. But share, comment, subscribe. Thank you guys so much.